from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
Good morning. Happy Monday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning to you, Ursula.
Good morning, G. Coming up later this hour after Heather's newscast at 10:30, we're going to be talking to Rick Riz, and we've got to talk about that stunning collapse yesterday.
Wow.
They had such a huge lead, and then somehow they still managed to lose. How are we going to get our Mariners back in good shape? Rick Riz always puts us in a good mood, so I'm looking forward to that conversation. But right now, we've got a lot to get to.
What's new at 10?
And you may have seen this video. It surfaced last week, and it has already been seen tens of thousands of times. And the subject is whether police reforms passed by the state legislature have gone too far. According to law enforcement leaders and lawmakers in Snohomish County, the new laws, they say, have emboldened criminals. And they point to especially the one law having to do with pursuing suspects in stolen cars or in vehicles.
Don't do it! And he's gone.
The reality is, criminally minded people are taking advantage of the new laws and creating more victims as a result.
So under the new law passed last year, police in our state can no longer pursue suspects unless there's probable cause to believe that the suspect is either impaired or is an escaped felon or has committed a violent or sexual crime. So on this video, you see Snohomish County Sheriff Adam Fortney and the Marysville PD, Everett, the mayors of Everett, Edmonds, Arlington, Lake Stevens, and Monroe, along with members of the Snohomish City Council. They released this 5-minute video calling for change. And here is Marysville Police Chief Eric Scarpone, who spoke with Cairo 7 TV.
I can't tell you how frustrating it is as a police chief to receive a call or a complaint from the community saying, hey, I saw people breaking into my car. They got into the car. I called 911. Your officers arrived and your officers watched them drive away.
So have you had a chance to see the video, G?
I have not.
Okay. But you know that you've heard the complaints and we've heard this and we've talked about this. Is it time for the legislature to pay attention and to look into this and see if maybe these laws that were passed have had unintended consequences?
Yes, they should. And I don't care where you side at, what opinion you have on this topic. Your opinion does not have backup with data. And let me explain that further. The reason why they need to readdress this, and in my opinion, I think they actually need to go back and reinstate it so that we can have a clear vision on what's happening. So, example, let's allow law enforcement to use their best judgment to pursue these criminals that are doing crimes. Then after a year or so, we can look at the data and say, okay, there has been a decrease in cars being stolen. And once it was a decrease, it was attributed to when police were allowed to use the judgment to pursue these criminals. Okay, cool. Oh, and by the way, as far as accidents with other, whether it's a pedestrian or someone else in another vehicle, that is also down because basically police officers are using their best judgments as they go to do this. I think that that is the best way, Ursula, to be able to answer these questions, because as of right now, we're just going off of he said, she said, we think, we believe, and that is not enough to make these decisions. So until then, let's default back to how it was. And let's see if there's going to be a difference. I hope that is. I hope I explained that in the most fair way that I could.
Well, unfortunately, already, and this is not new. I mean, they have been talking about this. Police agencies have been talking about this ever since the laws were passed.
Yes.
And the Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs, they came out and said, hey, this is really hampering our ability to basically put bad people away because we can't even do any of these. You know, all we can do is watch people as they commit these crimes and then go, get away. And there have been criminals who have even mentioned HB. Which one is it? Chef, the number, the, but anyway, the House bill,
1310,
yeah, 13, yeah, which allowed them to do this and said, you know, I can get away and they can't do anything. I've heard it over and over again from my friends who are in law enforcement, that they really feel like it has tied their hands. But you get to talking to the people in the legislature who were behind this, State Representative Jesse Johnson being one of them. And this is what he says.
Well, it's important to remember when we're talking about reform, this is systemic transformation, so there's going to be pushback.
And I understand what they were trying to achieve by passing some of these laws, but I think that you have to be open-minded enough if you are in a position where you are going to be passing this legislation, that if, in fact, there are consequences that you didn't foresee and that they are having an effect that is negative and more negative overall, and maybe some of the things that you wanted to achieve, like why couldn't you say, hey, let's continue to pursue, but only in these extreme cases so that, you know, people aren't harmed by the, and you're not using this disproportionately for certain populations. Try to achieve that versus now just getting rid of all of it and going to the extreme, which I think is, you know, where we're at right now.
I agree. And again, we want to see data on this. And I think the best way to achieve that is to default to how it used to be. And I'm also reminded there was a point in time in our history where black folks were telling you about the wrong treatment that would happen to them. And for years, nobody believed it. Until 1991, until it was on video with Rodney King. And we saw those officers acquitted during that time. And then since then, the best representation of that, because nobody would believe it, because according to the cops, it was like, ah, that's not really true. But it took cell phone video for people to be like, oh, it really was happening. So I'm using that to say with this, I'm not saying that I don't believe law enforcement, but I am saying that in the past, there hasn't really been a great track record.
Well, and the what happened with George Floyd in 2020 was one of the things that prompted all these things to happen and to pass in the legislature. But again, you have to be able to recognize that, hey, maybe we went too far and this is not something that we wanted to happen, because now we're saying that on all these cases you can't chase. I will also say, though, that I'm reading an article in the Herald newspaper, and there are people in the legislature who are saying Emily Wicks is a representative from Everett, and she actually took to Twitter on Friday and she was blasting the message of the video, saying that she thinks the whole video is disgusting and dishonest, and that that law enforcement bears responsibility for the current environment by constantly saying that they can't stop people from getting away with these crimes.
Well, that's an interesting point, that they're advertising like their own lack of ability to do things. But I want to address, go back to the way it was when it comes to pursuit policies, because I completely agree. The optics of somebody driving away from a police car, yep, that is obviously stolen is horrible. We watched it happen right outside the studio on air. Police, guns drawn, guy drives into a building, goes around on the curb and drives away, and they're just like, bye-bye, see you later. Yep. However, there are a large number of police departments across the state that had already adopted this policy, and it had nothing to do with wokeness. It had nothing to do with reform. It had to do with them internally deciding that it was not in the interest of their officers or the public safety to engage in high-speed pursuits of vehicles for people who had committed minor crimes. So the reality is that this policy existed within law enforcement in our state, in some of the largest cities in our state. And now many of these agencies are coming out and saying, whoa, the legislature is hamstringing us here.
Right.
Well, did it hamstring you when your own police chief put that policy into place? Now, I don't know. I don't know the data on how many people are hurt in these type of pursuits. I don't know the data on exactly what the effect was of this law. We just hear anecdotally from the chiefs and then from the representatives who say this needs to happen because X, Y, Z. I completely agree with you. We need actual data to make these decisions. And not narratives that cast blame just on one side or the other.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm trying to track the number, but the State Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs did have a number of how many chase or how many was it the police pursuits that didn't happen. They have some figures that show that there are so many more people who are stealing cars. Thieves are stealing cars. And
they have the auto theft numbers for sure.
Yes.
Can't say how many people have gotten away.
Yes. Right. And that has gone up dramatically. Okay. We're going to move on to this is something that you might not know, but Renton-based Providence Hospital, the chain, is being accused of squeezing money out of patients who are eligible for free care because of their low incomes. And the New York Times did this investigation and found that in 2018, senior execs were really frustrated that they were spending hundreds of millions of dollars on charity care patients, and it was basically cutting into their bottom line. Again, I want to point out that this is a nonprofit, though. So they created a program called Rev Up, where employees were trained to hound patients into paying. And if they didn't pay up, the hospital chain would send out the debt collectors. In case you don't know, all hospitals in our state have to provide free care for anyone who makes under 300% of the federal poverty level. So that basically boils down to a family of four, that's about $83,000 a year. And earlier this year, State Attorney General Bob Ferguson filed a lawsuit against Providence accusing the hospital chain of using debt collectors to go after more than 55,000 patients who qualified for free care. I got to tell you, this is something that is near and dear to my heart because I've had to fight to help people who can't afford to pay for their hospital bills to get some kind of relief. And it's a racket.
Law and order. Hold people accountable for theft, for crimes, including the grocery stores when people are going to steal stuff out of the grocery stores or the convenience stores. We always talk about holding folks accountable, fair, and I agree with you. If you commit a crime, you should be held accountable. You will never hear me say that you shouldn't be. There's no justification for crime. I don't care how broke or poor you are. I've been broke and poor. You don't commit crimes. With that being said, this right here, this knowing that you have the ability, knowing that some of these families don't have to pay for these hospitals, but you are still going after these families for the payment. You are knowing that these folks are good to go or should have relief from these payments, but you still bring the debt collector on them and you still attach this to their credit. And so if you're listening right now, what does that mean? Well, that means that Sally and or Steve or somebody has this ding on their credit that they can't get off. And you guys know how medical debt is. You know that does not go away with bankruptcy. So they can't qualify for that home. You know, when the interest rates were at 2.5% and 3%, now the interest rate is at over 6%. They weren't able to apply for that because that's on their credit. You know, the vehicle that they wanted to get at a lower interest rate? Well, that interest rate is now 12 and 13%. You know, the apartment that they wanted to rent? They could not qualify because that is on there. This is a crime. There are so many people, Ursula, that get impacted by this. And I choose to tell, and I say it all the time, it is big business to take advantage of poor people in this country. And it is really expensive to be poor in this country.
Well, the crazy thing is that, again, Providence is supposed to be a nonprofit hospital. And there's a certain percentage, I think it was The average for nonprofit hospitals, when it comes to free care that they provide, the average is 2%. And in 2018, before the RevUp program was in place, Providence spent just over 1% of its expenses on charity care. And then after it was passed, it was below 1%. So it was way below the average of most hospitals. And again, I think there are a lot of people who don't even realize that this is available and they don't have insurance and they're like, well, I can't afford it, so I'm just not even going to go. I'm not even going to go get help for whatever it is that, you know, that the medical needs that they have, because they think, well, why would I go? Because I'm just going to end up racking up this huge bill and I'm going to have bill collectors after me.
Thank you for saying what you said, because I just want you to know, up until this morning, I did not know that. And what you had said before, when you're giving the report and you're reading what was happening, you had said that all hospitals in the state must provide free care for anyone that makes under 300% of the federal poverty level. And that's a family of four, basically, that makes $83,000 a year or less. Ursula, I truly believe that there are a lot of people that did not know that and do not know that. And right now, you're probably hearing it for the first time. Yes. So my question is, why? Why?
Because they don't want you to know it. And I'm going to tell you, right now, they want to also make it very difficult for you. So it's like, oh, okay, well, you want to apply for charity care. You need to show me this amount of, you know, and this monthly statement. And a lot of these people are elderly. A lot of these people don't have help, but they want to make sure. And I get it. You know, people might take advantage of it, but you should not actively be trying to eliminate people who are clearly eligible for this free care. And this RevUp program, the people were trained, and the materials, this is a quote now, again, from this New York Times investigation. The people were trained to say, you need to ask every single patient, every single time. Don't use any weak phrases like, would you mind paying? No, they wanted employees to demand that patients pay and to threaten them with collections if they wouldn't pay. It was their role to get the money. It was not an option. They had to get the money. And again, these people are eligible for free care.
And nobody's going to go to jail for this.
Well, they're facing a big lawsuit.
Yeah. Imagine if you go steal a bag of chips and a candy bar at the store, you ain't facing a lawsuit. You can get arrested for stealing. This right here, these crimes right here that just go unaccountable, is unbelievable. It's hurtful to hear about it. Thank you, Ursula. Coming up next on the G and Ursula Show, Rick Riz is going to join us. We're going to find out, hey, what happened to the Mariners on the road? And B, are the Mariners still going to make the playoffs? Because we're getting close to October, and we need to know. It's G and Ursula.
Show with G and Ursula.
Holy smokes.
And it is time to say hello to our friend Rick Riz, and you are going to make us feel better, because right now I think a lot of us are worried about what is going on with our team.
Okay. Hi, Ursula. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
The sun came up today.
Yes,
you know,
it
did. I didn't think it was going to come up.
I know. At some point yesterday, we weren't so sure.
So, yeah, that was a weird one.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Rick, that's funny. Okay, can you remember ever seeing that level of collapse? Yes,
21 years ago. And I thought about it while it was happening, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. 2001, that magical year, we won 108 games. Actually, we tied the 1908 Chicago Cubs, but there was one game late in the year against the Cleveland Indians, and the Mariners have a 12-0 lead and a 14-2 lead. They had a 12-run lead, and Cleveland, their manager, Mike Hargrove, was starting to take their you know, starters out of the ball game. I remember Kenny Lofton was ticked off because he was still in the game, but Cleveland just kept coming back and scoring runs, and they had a huge inning. They had another beginning. And I looked at Dave when it was 14-8. I said, you know, I'm not sure we're going to win this game. And sure enough, Cleveland came back and won 15-14. So if it happens every 21 years, I'm okay with that. But yesterday, the Mariners had a big 11-2 lead and got eight runs in the, what was it, the sixth inning or fifth inning? And then Kansas City came back with 11 runs of their own. It was just, it doesn't happen very often. But Yogi Berra was right, Ursula and G. It's never over till it's over. And Kansas City came back and won 13-12. But magic number is down to six. We've got 10 games left to go here. Any combination of Mariner wins, Baltimore losses, the Mariners are going to get in. So it's just, it was just a weird day at the office yesterday.
All right. It was a weird day. Now, help us understand how the Mariners can get back on track, how they can make the playoffs. Tell us what needs to happen, sir.
Okay. The way they get back is Robbie Ray tomorrow. You know, momentum is your next day starting pitcher. And Robbie Ray is, in my mind, still one of the best pitchers in this league. The Mariners went out and signed the American League Cy Young Award winner last November because of what we're going through right now. You know, stop tough losses, stop losing streaks. And the Mariners really haven't had, you know, real long losing streaks. They had that 14-game winning streak. But the next day starting pitcher, G, is your momentum starter, and that's how you get going. You forget about it. Now, you also have to remember that this is a rough stretch. It was a tough road trip against teams the Mariners should have beaten, teams under 500 and all that, but they're trying to. Oakland is a good young ball club. Those kids are hungry, and, man, they played, you know, their, you know, what's off. And Kansas City the same way. These kids are playing for a job. So that makes those two teams dangerous teams. Mariners should have won those ball games, though. But they're playing without Julio Rodriguez. They're playing without Eugenio Suarez. Mitch Haniger was out for a while. And also Cal Raleigh is trying to play through a really sore thumb. He had to come out of the ball game in the fifth or sixth inning. You know, caught a slider and wrong, just got him the right way and had to come out of the game. So once they get Suarez back, and hopefully they get him back possibly to DH tomorrow night, once they get Julio back, then they have their ball club. I don't think Scott Servais has had the starting lineup that they envisioned coming out of spring training for more than a week this year. And they've done an amazing job of, you know, the next man up, you know, fighting through tough situations, fighting through injuries, which every club does. But the Mariners, I think, have had more than their share. So I think they're going to be just fine. It's going to be a great homestand. The fans are the 10th man on our ball club, and they're going to show up and really create a lot of excitement out of T-Mobile Park, and they're going to be just fine.
Okay, I hate to ask this question, but I'm going to, because you know, they're kind of limping toward the end of the season and trying to get to the playoffs. And just let's assume that they make it to the playoffs. Would you still consider the season to be a success if they make it in, but then they are out after the first round?
Oh, I think it'll be a success. Yeah, it'll be disappointing, you know, because you put on a uniform, Ursula, to get to the playoffs. We want to get to the World Series. That's the main goal. And I applaud the ownership for going out and getting Robbie Ray during the offseason when the time was right, when the young kids have come up and really created the core and the foundation for this organization. Then to go out and get Luis Castillo, you know, at the trade deadline to bolster one of the best starting rotations in all of baseball, to acquire, you know, Eugenio Suarez, Jesse Winker, you know, before the season get underway. So it would be a tremendous success to get to the playoffs, but the goal is to get to the World Series. We haven't been there, and we got to take our fans there. And the ownership is doing everything they possibly can to help out. Scott Servais, I've said it many, many times, should have been the American League Manager of the Year last year. I think he's got to win the award this year. Jerry DePoto, you know, had a game plan, and it's come to fruition. So, yes, they had a tough road trip. They had a tough game yesterday. It happens. Dave Henderson used to tell me all the time, Ursula and G, that, you know, the other team is trying to. But they're going to get there. It's going to be a tremendous success when they get to the playoffs. And I can't wait to see, you know, 40,000 fans at T-Mobile Park, you know, throughout the week. So it'll be a success, you know, getting to the playoffs. But once again, they have the starting rotation and the bullpen and the defense to get deep into short series, a 5-game series or a 7-game series. And there's a lot of teams that don't want to play this ball club.
Mr. Riz, I'm not supposed to ask you yes or no questions, but right now I'm going to. Are the Mariners going to make the playoffs?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, they're going to make the playoffs. Magic number's down to 6. Any combination of Mariner wins and Baltimore losses, and I give Baltimore a lot of credit. They're hanging in there. But any combination of Mariner wins, Baltimore losses, the Mariners are in. And with 10 games left, you know that they're going to get there. They really are. This ball club is just too good not to get there. The starting pitching, like I said, is great guys. The bullpen, they catch the ball. They got one of the best defenses in all the baseball, but they just have to get healthy. They need Suarez back. They need Julio back, as I mentioned.
Is Suarez coming back? So you said...
Yes, he's coming back.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know officially. They don't tell me anything, but from what Scott Service said the other day, he says, hopefully, that Eugenio can be maybe DH possibly on Tuesday night. They got to wait and see. He's got to take batting practice and start taking bomb balls. He's got the fractured index finger. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that he's going to be back hopefully tomorrow night. But we'll have to wait and see.
All right. We're going to talk to you next Monday. I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad you always got a positive way of talking. Thank you, brother.
We've come a long way, and it's not going to end. They're going to get to the playoffs, G and Ursula. It's going to be fun.
All right. Have a good one, sir.
All right. That's Amore.
Yes.
Believe it, man. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie.
Hey, coming up next on the G and Ursula Show, it's scenarios. And find out what happens when my man shows up, comes home to a house full of new furniture. We discuss that next. G and Ursula. Ursula, everybody. Coming up next, it will be time for Agree to Disagree. We got some good topics, so you might want to stick around for that. It was some good ones. But right now, scenarios.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
I came home from work on Tuesday. By the way, this gets good. I came home from work on Tuesday and walked in a house full of new furniture. All new. I'm talking all new. Every room, all the old stuff was gone. I was like walking into a different world. My wife was waiting with a big smile on her face and said, "Surprise, I did this all myself. Are you happy?" I'm shocked. Horrified. I still don't know how much it costs. But I finally recovered enough to ask her why. And then she said, "You told me I could, remember?" Then it hit me. 6 months ago, she accused me of cheating with a woman at work. I didn't, but she thought I did. And when she kept pressing it, I lied about a business dinner and said the woman wasn't even there. Then she found out later that she was there. She almost left me. I begged her, pleaded, and said, "Anything you want." And this is what she chose. But she should have asked me, though, right? I mean, I didn't cheat, and she's using it as a weapon. But I don't want to bring all that up again, and I absolutely don't want her to feel bad by reacting inappropriately. Help. 888-973-5476. Ursula, what is with that look you're giving me?
Because I predict that in 6 to 12 months, we'll be getting another letter. The marriage is over. This marriage sounds like it's based on a lot of, I don't want to say lies, but maybe not telling full truths.
Yeah.
Making a lot of decisions without having the other person in mind. He promised something because maybe he wasn't being fully truthful.
Mm-hmm.
And then now he can't even remember what he promised in that moment to get out of that thing.
Yeah.
And so she decides she's going to go for it and then not tell him. I mean, it just sounds like a complete wreck of a relationship. I'll be honest. I don't give it a whole lot of time. So what can you do? Nothing. Ask for how much it was.
Nothing. Here, nothing you can do, because you said 6 months ago, anything you want.
Yeah.
You said that. And she
made good on that promise.
Yeah.
And this is one of those times with two things. One, don't do what you did again to make that promise. And two, suck it up, Buttercup.
Have you, either of you guys, Chef,
yes.
I want to hear your take on this.
Yes.
Have you ever in your relationship said, anything you want, I'll do? You can get anything that you want.
Honestly?
Yeah.
Thank you, Chef. Thank you for keeping it a buck right there. I mean, you've said that?
No, I mean, does anyone ever say that honestly?
Oh, okay.
No. Hold on. Maybe you haven't said that. And to the true folks that's listening, I want to be real. You maybe have never said that, but you either have done something or paid for something or given them something to try to make good for your transgressions.
Well, I don't know if that's the case. I think it's just that reasonable people who trust their spouse and are in a good, loving relationship say anything you want, knowing that the request would be reasonable, right? Like a fake allegation of cheating or an incorrect allegation of cheating does not warrant buying, the husband a Corvette if it's the wife, or if it's the husband who's accused and he offers anything you want. That doesn't mean we could buy a house in Florida or redo the living room. Y'all sound like a train wreck.
It does sound like a train wreck.
This is normal. Man, come
on. What part is normal? None of it is normal.
There's sometimes
not a healthy relationship.
Fair. Well, you know what? In this country, 50% of marriages end in divorce. I got news flash for y'all. We ain't doing a good job here. One in two marriages don't make it. So that's number one. Number two, maybe it's unhealthy, but it happens more often than you think. And you're listening right now, and maybe you don't want to admit it. We have all, maybe you've gone somewhere and you weren't supposed to, or maybe you had a bad day or you didn't do that and you took it out on your significant other and then you try to make up for it. Come on now. It's human nature to try to make up with our partners. It doesn't have to be whatever you want. It can be, oh, you know what? I spent too much money when I went shopping last week. You know what? This week, I'm going to go ahead and make them dinner, or I'm going to do this. Come on, it's normal. We do those things. We're human. Ursula, you mean to tell me in all the years you've never done something, felt guilty, and said, I'm going to make it up to Mark? Come on.
Yeah, but not buying a whole house full of furniture as a way of, hey, you promised I could do anything, so I'm going to go ahead and do this. I mean, that's going to affect everybody. Maybe she took
it too far.
Yes.
But we have all done something.
Unicycle Mike says they need therapy.
The one relatable piece of this is making a promise to your significant other and then completely forgetting that you made that promise. And then when they call it in, you're like, I never said that.
Okay.
I've done this so many times.
Look, check this out. I'm going to say this. I know you guys make fun of me all the time about, gee, ha-ha, you've been married a bunch of times. And you know what? You're absolutely right. But here's what I'm learning. I'm learning that in the past, I always wanted to win every argument. Oh. In the past, I never wanted to be like, you know what? I messed up. Let me try to make good. I don't care what none of y'all say. Sometimes when you mess up, you better try to make good with your significant other. And I'm telling you, sometimes it's just best to be like, you know what? I don't even want the fight. Baby, here goes some flowers. Here goes a present. Here goes dinner. Here goes something. And it goes a long way.
Well, it does. I think admitting fault or the inability to admit fault is actually such a turnoff. I think the ability to say, hey, I was wrong about this and be sincere about it, I think that is huge for a relationship.
Huge. Huge. All right. The thing is I don't like about this topic is Chef did keep it. I know Chef. I know that dude makes it up to Gabby on certain things. I know he does. And that's why he's got that little smirk on his damn face. Hey, coming up next, we're going to have some fun with Agree to Disagree. There is a Sumner. You know all my brothers and sisters down in Sumner? Y'all got an official down there that did some things with his email address. We talk about that next. Gene Ursula.